Happy New Year and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. I would like to wish all my listeners a happy and a healthy new year. As we do every week, let us start our program and our day with a prayer from the Liturgy of the Hours of the Armenian Church. From the east to the west, you are blessed, O Lord, for you are a merciful King, and your name is fearful in the entire world. Let our psalm be acceptable in your sight. Let justice from your righteousness come forth into our weakness. Let your all-holy name be glorified, and may we be worthy to remain in the way of your commandments, and to sing blessing and glory to you with the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Every person or every family has a holiday tradition. And one of the traditions that we have in our family is that we like to watch A Christmas Story once a year. However, this year we skipped watching the movie because we were scheduled to go to see A Christmas Story, the musical, in the theater. Now, I'm sure most of you know about A Christmas Story, the movie. It's about the kid who wanted a BB gun for Christmas. And from the first look, you might not get the full story of that movie. However, for me, it's something that I like very much because it shows the life of a family. It might not be the perfect family because you see some elements of dysfunction in the life of that family. However, families are like that. And it is something that I like to watch every year. So the reason that I wanted to see The Christmas Story, the musical, this year in the theater was because our own Michael Minichin was one of the actors. The play was on Saturday, the 27th of December, and I was there along with a large group of parishioners of St. Sarkis Church. Today we have with us here at St. Sarkis Church, Michael Minichin. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Dev Nanik. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good.
So, Michael, what inspired you to get a role in A Christmas Story, the musical?
Well, 3 years ago there at summer camp, I heard they were putting on a show, Alice in Wonderland, and I decided I wanted to try out. And when I made it, I found it to be a lot of fun. Okay. So over the past few summers, I've participated in musicals at camp.
Okay.
And during that period of time, I've always thought of doing a professional show, and I finally found one.
Indeed, it was a professional show. Tell us about the process of audition and how did you get accepted?
Well, in September, my mom got this random email about this show, and she asked me if I wanted to try out, and I said, of course, because I love doing musicals. And when I auditioned, I was surprised to see that there was 70 kids there.
70.
And I was really afraid I wouldn't get it. But there was three sections, singing, dancing, and reading lines. And after each part, they eliminated a few kids, which meant they didn't make it.
Sure.
And I made it to the last part. And 8 days later, my mom got a call from one of the workers of the theater saying that I made it.
You did. How did you feel about that?
Well, I was really happy because I've always dreamt of doing a professional show, and my dream had finally come true.
Had you seen the movie before?
No, not at that time.
Okay, so how did you feel to play the bully in the musical?
Well, at first it was difficult because there's some scenes where you just like have to laugh because it's really funny. For example, like in one of the scenes, I have to watch someone get a wedgie, and sometimes I laugh just on stage. But now I've gotten used to it, and I'm not really afraid to go on stage anymore and become a bully.
Okay. I know you're not a bully in real life, but you did really good on stage.
Thank you.
How did you feel when you were on the stage for the first time during the first show?
During the first act, I was a little nervous about just going on stage and performing. But during act two, I just, like, there was no nerves in me. I just went on stage and performed. Like, I had nothing to worry about.
Did it feel different this last Saturday when you had a lot of people from St. Sarkis present?
Yeah, because everywhere I looked in the audience, I saw someone from St. Sarkis.
And I think we were following you wherever you went on the stage because we were there for you. So what would you like your next role to be?
I would like to play Ralphie, the lead, in A Christmas Story someday.
Very good. So what is your message for your cohorts, kids of your age, who have similar ambitions as you do?
Believe in yourself and always try your best.
All right, Michael. I think you did your best and we are so proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We also have with us Michael's father, Dr. Alex Manesian. Alex, how was it for you to see your son performing on the stage?
Well, it all started with the show when we got that phone call 8 days later. The smile on Michael's face was something that I still have an image of in my mind, and it just he took this with a grain of salt, and I just love seeing him on stage. He's constantly smiling, even though he's trying to be the bully. That's his part, but I can tell he's having a great time, and he's not going to be happy when this show is over, but we'll hopefully find him some other opportunities in the future.
Have you attended every show that he had?
He's done almost 20 shows so far, and we've gone to about 8 shows.
So I hear that he will have 2 more upcoming shows next Saturday and next Sunday.
Next Saturday at 8 p.m. at the John Engelman Theater in Northport, and then a matinee at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the 4th. I think the tickets are being close to selling out, so hopefully some of the parishioners can join us at that show.
Absolutely. I would encourage everyone who has the time to attend, because you will love. This is almost like a Broadway quality performance, and you will have such a great time attending and watching and encouraging a young talent from our community. Alex, thank you very much for bringing Michael here today. We wish you best of luck.
Thank you, Dear Nari, for this opportunity.
I want to wish our listeners a Happy New Year one more time, and I pray that 2015 will be a good year filled with peace and love for everyone. And while we are embracing the new year, I think it will be good for us to look back and to reflect on the events that we had in the past year. And today I am with our church's youth program director, Mrs. Seta Megarian, and we will have a conversation about the events that we had last year. Needless to say that our podcast today is being recorded by our sound engineer, Mr. Greg Doster, who will also make his input as we go with the conversation. Hi, Seta. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Dernadek.
Hi, Dernadek. How are you?
Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year.
So let's look back. We had a good year last year. 2014 was a good year. Let's start with some of the major events that we had here at St. Sarkis Church. The first one on my list would be the Christmas Eve celebration. Last year, Christmas Eve, January 5th, was on Sunday. And for that reason, we had family worship, which was followed by the Saturday school Christmas program. And it was a beautiful celebration. The services were presided over by Oshagan Serpazan, and it was a beautiful thing that our prelate was here on the first Sunday of the year, and we had over 230 people attending. First Sunday was a great start. What would be the second thing that you would like to highlight on your list, Seta?
I would love to highlight and give the spotlight to our youth. In the first bulletin of the year, we started with a very special program where we spotlighted one youth per bulletin to encourage them and show our members all the wonderful things that they do through school and in their communities. So many of them are so active, and we're so proud of them.
Sure. I would like to remind our listeners that our youth club had just started the fall of last year, so we've been around only for a year and a couple of months, and probably for that reason we chose to highlight their activities in the bulletin. We had a great Valentine's party. Would you like to comment on that?
Our Valentine's party was a success as always. It was a sold-out event.
Oh, they're always a blast.
We had Eli Berberian and his band from Montreal, and it was an exceptionally wonderful evening, as always.
It was the 6th annual Valentine's party. I can't believe that we've been doing this for six years now. Yeah. Another good event from past year was the Pum Pare Canton. It was a family event just inaugurated, and it was to mark the beginning of the Great Lent. The theme was totally Armenian, with Armenian food, Armenian decoration, and tapestries everywhere. Families came along with their children. And they had such a great time.
There was something for everyone that night. It was great.
Yes. Right after Pum Pare Canton, we had another year of liturgy, education, and tradition. This is the name of the series that we do during Lent. On every Friday, we have church services followed by a presentation or a lecture. And then, of course, we savor the good Armenian
Lenten foods.
Yes. So the first presentation of the year was actually done by our youth club members.
Yes, they presented the meaning of Lent. They did a fantastic job. They researched, they were able to engage their audience. It was a very good turnout that they had, and as usual, we're always very proud of
it. It was a teamwork. They worked together, they presented together, and the good thing was that their parents were there, they were supporting, and they were so proud of their kids performing and presenting on the altar. So Easter was celebrated according to the traditions of the Armenian church. One thing that we do here, which is very successful during Easter time, is the Saturday school Easter communion and breakfast. On Saturday morning, right before Easter, the Saturday school students and their parents come to church. We had another family worship service for them. They prayed, they sang together. There was a short homily. And then after that, there was a great program downstairs in the main hall, and it's always sold out. We had a lot of families, and the kids had really, really great time. So that brings us all the way almost to May.
The first thing that happened in May was the exceptionally wonderful ladies' tea party. I'm sure you guys weren't there, but I was.
I don't know why I missed that.
It was really an amazing event. The ladies that were on this committee, they did an amazing job with all of the intricate details and the centerpieces and all the foods. It was a truly unbelievable event and a great turnout as well. Hopefully we could do it again.
This year we had also special guests from Romania, Mr. Varujan Voskanian, who is a member of the parliament in Romania, who was a former minister, the Minister of Economy in Romania, and he was here along with dignitaries from the Romanian embassy in New York, and we had both Sarpazans presiding over the event. It was a wonderful event that we had Mr. Varujan Voskanian, who also presented his book, The Book of Whispers. And then we had Father's Day, but Father's Day was different this year because it was organized by the Men's Club. The Men's Club was just formed by the men of our community, and they wanted to do something special, and they picked Father's Day, and they honored Mr. Karnik Nersesian. And the sweetest part during the evening was that most of the members of Yera's group came, and they surprised him with two or three dances. Such an amazing moment. Everyone was in tears, reminiscing the good old days of Yera's and hoping that Yera's will be the same like it was in the past.
Another new event that we had this year was the graduation Sunday, the Sunday of graduates, which took place in early June. This year we had 18 graduates of elementary school, junior high school, and college, who all came together with their families. The program started in church, and we had a wonderful event downstairs in our main hall where we had a beautiful photo montage representing the lives of all of our graduates thus far and all of their accomplishments, and we wish them a bright future and a beautiful road ahead.
I think they all went home with very happy memories that the church embraces them and the church cares about their achievements. And as you mentioned, the program started in the church. We had Anushavan Sarpazan presiding over the services, and he blessed special stoles which were designed by the church, and the stoles were put around their neck. And after that, we went downstairs. We had speeches, and I think everyone was very proud of the achievements of our
students. Of all of our graduates.
Yes.
It was so touching. We look forward to this event again this year.
Our Senior Citizens Club had a trip to the Shrine of the Lady in Long Island. They have built a very nice statue of the Holy Virgin Mary overlooking on the South Shore. And we were around 50 people went there. We spent a day of prayer and meditation. And then after that, we also had lunch. It was well attended, a very good event. And we hope that we will have similar trips organized by the organizing group of the Senior Citizens Club. And that brings us to
July.
The most important event this summer was
the 9th annual summer camp.
Yep.
It was so wonderful. 80 campers, 20 staff, an amazing trip to Atlantis. I can't speak highly enough about it. It was a superb 2 weeks.
It seems like every year we're doing better. And this year, I'm happy to announce that the summer camp is scheduled for 3 weeks.
Everyone's been asking for it, guys.
Now we'll make it official.
All right.
It's for 3 weeks.
So the seal is broken on the secret. There you go.
So don't make any other plans. Send your kids here. And we promise that we will not only keep them busy, but we will try to educate them, take them to church, and the friendship that they will build hopefully will last forever. Another highlight of the summer was the Asvadazin celebration, the blessing of the grapes, and the traditional harissa. This is something that we've been doing for the past number of years. Again, it was very well attended, and it's something that our community members look forward every year. And summer was over. In fall, we started something different. The first week of September, we released the first podcast. So, Greg, I would like you to comment on that.
Well, what can I say there, Narek? It's not only my pleasure to see you doing work in audio production, coming from an engineering background and a music production background myself, but I'm inspired by it. You get to educate our church community with not only what's going on, but what has been going on, and you know, what's going to be going on in the near future. It's a great way to communicate to all our people and in such a, I guess, a pioneering way, so to speak, in our meeting community, don't you think?
I don't know about the pioneering, but I know that every week I'm nervous about the podcast because I want to create something beautiful every week, and I think it's been going very well. I mean, the first time I interviewed our Archbishop Sirpazan Oshagan, that was difficult to sit in front of your boss and ask him all the questions, but it turned out to be a very good interview. And since then, we've been doing good interviews. And the aim of the podcast is A, to educate people, because this is how I look at it. You know, if the people are not coming to church, then let's take the church to them.
Yeah.
And this is something that you can listen to while you're driving or while you're browsing the net or whatever, you know, cleaning the house, something. The second objective of the podcast is to engage our community members, and that's why I try to interview different people. And here's my invitation to the community: if you think that you're interested to hear someone, just drop me an email and I would be very glad to interview that person and learn from them, because it's all about learning and furthering our information.
Shortly after your first podcast, Dernadek, we had our annual picnic, which everyone so much looks forward to every year. It was absolutely amazing this year.
It was a very different picnic, I would say, because the layout was different. We had a live band. The kids' zone was expanded. The weather was fantastic.
It was a beautiful day.
And when I look back to the photos, I always pray that every year we will have a similar kind of weather and a crowd, and just, it was beautiful.
Everything just fell into place that day. It was excellent. The food was great. The crowd was great. And I might mention that my youth club was selling their genocide t-shirts that day, which they created.
Are they still available? They're still available.
Yes. Small, medium, and large. They were beautiful.
That brings us to October. In October, we had the second annual Saturday School Dinner Dance, which was in a beautiful place in Long Island. We had almost all the parents along with their extended families. And we're looking forward and hoping that the PTA will be able to organize similar events for the upcoming year.
unbeknownst to you in the month of October, Dan Areg, there was a lot of planning going around behind your back, because on October 17th, we celebrated your 10th year into priesthood, and I hope you were surprised.
I was surprised, yes. I don't like surprise parties, but you got me. The moment that I stepped into the hall and I saw all that crowd, I was like, am I in the wrong place? But it turned out that it was for me, basically, and I'm really, really grateful. So after that, we had a very special visit from the prelate of Halab, His Eminence Archbishop Shahan Sarkisian, who came to present to us the eyewitness account of the Armenian community of Syria. It was kind of a last-minute decision. We were made aware that Shahan Sarkisian is coming, and there was no way for us to extensively advertise. But we had a good crowd. The crowd not only listened, but they also opened their hearts and opened their pockets, and they donated to ease the pain of the suffering Armenian brothers and sisters in Syria. And I'm really thankful to each and everyone who donated either that day or have been donating throughout the year. And I pray that God will bless you and God will ease the pain of the Armenian community in Syria.
Also in the month of October, we celebrated Benefactors Day and all those who take part in making our church as wonderful as it is. And we thank everyone for their dedication.
Right, we had a requiem service for all the benefactors, and the greatest of them are Susan and Hovsep Agopian. And there was a banquet in the main hall of the church, but it was also Auxiliary Appreciation Day. While we remember the past, we remember all the benefactors of the church, we also appreciated each and every auxiliary and their members for their continuous support and all the activities that they provide for St. Sarkis Church. It was like a family type of atmosphere. A representative from each and every auxiliary body stood up and gave some sort of informal report of the things that they're doing. They thanked their members, and we look forward to celebrate that every year. And that brings us almost to Christmas season. And Christmas season was very busy.
In early August, our youth club started planning a fabulous trip to Radio City Music Hall to see the Christmas Spectacular. They did a great job at organizing a very effective and organized trip. And they successfully got 50 people, both from the youth club, Saturday school, parents. We all hopped aboard a bus and we went into the city, and it was a fantastic day.
And then we had a very special book presentation, which was actually the following day of the trip.
Yes.
And we had Harriet Hawk from Canada presenting his latest book, One Church, One Nation. Although I knew Harriet, it's like I'm grateful to see a person who is not a member of the clergy of the Armenian church speaking about churches and the Armenian church specifically, giving a witness about the miracle that God gave him in his life. And it was so moving. He's a professional photographer. The photos that he showed that day was amazing. And the people were moved, and it was a very good opportunity for a lot of our parishioners to purchase books as Christmas gifts. And all in all, it was another great, great event that we had.
Yes, it was.
Another new addition to our Christmas celebration was the cookie decorating contest, which we had on the first week of December. Parents prepared cookies for kids to decorate. Elves were around. Kids wrote letters to Santa. It was such a festive afternoon that we had here at our church.
There was also a photo booth.
That was amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Where people could take their family portraits. That was very cool.
And take the printouts with them as they stepped out of the church. I think that led us to Simply Christmas, another tradition that we established in the past number of years here at St. Sarkis Church.
What a beautiful event, really.
You were here, and
oh, absolutely.
I know you were enjoying that event. Kusher and the performing artist did a fantastic job. I was happy with Simply Christmas. What do you think as an audio engineer, Greg?
Oh, please. I was so impressed. I see Dernareg as I'm sitting in the pews, recording and looking at me back and forth just to see if he's doing everything correctly. I feel great. It's as if I have a protege. Look at that. I'm honored. But yeah, I mean, feel free to retrack back to the past episodes. The past two episodes, I think we added clips, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, in the past two episodes, there were clips from Simply Christmas, just to give you a taste of what we have here every year during Christmas season.
And Dare Not's audio engineering skills.
And Greg's audio engineering skills. And then we had the police luncheon. This is another tradition that we have been observing for the past 20 years. We honor the local NYPD and the firefighters. And this year, because we were celebrating the 20th anniversary, we extended an invitation to all precincts of Queens North. And we also had the borough president, Melinda Katz, who gave us a proclamation. It was an event that was presided over by the prelate and the vicar general. It was a good opportunity to honor the police officers of our community.
Don't forget our annual Saturday School Contest, which took place on the 21st of December this year. It was so lovely to see all of our little babies singing and reciting poems, and they did a fantastic job as always. It was a sold out event. We thank all of our Saturday school teachers and PTA parents for making this event possible.
And we concluded the year last Sunday with observing the Feast of St. Stephen. The deacons were honored. Anusha Van Surpassen was here, and we had the opportunity to take a group photo with all our choir members and also the deacons and altar servers. 2014 was a good year. Now, on the first day of 2015, it's a very important year, I think, and we need to contemplate on that for a minute. It's the year that we commemorate the centennial of the Armenian Genocide. This is not any event. This is a big deal for any Armenian, because I don't think there is any Armenian who has not suffered the consequences of the genocide. So I would like to ask our listeners a question. How are you going to commemorate the genocide? You know, you can think, we'll look ahead and see what are the organizations are doing. We'll be part of the commemorations that the various Armenian organizations will have throughout the year. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, what are you going to do about the centennial? How are you going to make your kids aware about the genocide? What are you going to learn about your heritage, your identity, that will make you more aware of what happened to us as an Armenian nation 100 years ago? So this is a challenge, and I hope that you will take this challenge seriously. I will elaborate on that more in the coming episodes of the podcast. This will be something organized, and I am hoping that our listeners will participate, and we all as a community will come up with a ways of commemorating the genocide. Let's do the Bible reflection now. This is something that we do here every week on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 20, verses 41 to chapter 21, verse 4. Then he said to them, "How can they say that the Messiah is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord. So how can he be his son?" In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in all she had to live on." The Word of God. The reading today is really powerful. Probably will not be able to touch upon everything, but what I would like to concentrate is 3 points. First of all, just like in time of Jesus, people would try to minimize who Jesus was by calling him the Son of David. There are people nowadays who try to minimize who Jesus is. They call him just a guy. They call him, maybe he was a rabbi, he was a prophet. But we know from the Bible and we know from the church teachings that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus came for our salvation. And unless we believe in him, we have no life in ourselves. The second point that I would like to concentrate is that God knows us inside out. We cannot fool God. We cannot say long prayers. We cannot pretend that we are respected people in the community, because God knows what is inside our hearts. If we need to do work, that work has to be done inside, trying to purify what's in our hearts, to purify our thoughts, and make our hearts a place for the Son of God to come and to dwell. And the third point is about the offerings. In the temple, there were two kinds of people. The rich ones who were giving out of their abundance. And there was also the widow who gave everything that she had. Now, there are some people who would read this literally and they would say, how God can expect us to give everything that we have? Well, throughout history, there have been people who have given everything that they had and followed Christ. But not everyone can do that. What Jesus praises in this incident is the way that the widow gave. She gave believing in God. She gave all that she had. Today we have people in our community who give in the same manner like the widow. They give their time, they give their talent to make the church a better place. Today I say a prayer for all those who are like the widow. They're giving everything that they have for the sake of their church, because that is a way for them to live their faith. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, on the first day of the year, let us try to concentrate on these 3 points. That Jesus is our Lord, that God knows us very well, and that we need to be participants. We need to be giving wholeheartedly, and that's how God will come to bless us. May God be with you and with your families, and may this day be a new beginning for every one of us. Today's hymn is called Chorurt Medz. This is the hymn of nativity of the Armenian Church. Chorurt Medz means great mystery. The hymn is about the mystery that is being revealed on the day of nativity. Jesus Christ is revealing himself in the manger for the salvation of humankind. Most of you know this hymn by heart. I hope you will be able to sing along and enjoy Chorurt Meds. I wish everyone a Happy New Year and a Merry Armenian Christmas. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that the peace of the Lord will be in your hearts. I would like to thank Greg Dostur for producing the podcast again this week. I'll be back next week. God bless you all. Amen.
Oh.